The FBI, Friedman's Big Issues with Lee Friedman for Robot Building Supplies, offering an extensive range of building supplies Melbourne-wide and throughout Victoria.
Regal Artry trying for a run, but Mahogany Hall went for the whip at the 200. Five in front. It's all over. Regal Artry and Shelved are running on with Waikika Moo Cow, but Mahogany blitzes them in the derby. Magnificent win. Mahogany by seven lengths on the post. Shelved second. Waikika Moo
Cow. It was one of the softest wins we've seen in the Victoria Derby. The superstar Mahogany, that also won two Lightnings over 1,000 at the famous Flemington course, obliterating them in 1993. Lee Friedman, that would put a smile on your face. Good to chat to you.
Yeah, hi. Well, I see that quite a lot of this time of year, and it never ceases to amaze me how easily he won, albeit the opposition weren't so great in that race, but he wasn't really an out-and-out stayer, but he had a lot of class and had the race run to suit and had enough stamina to be able to use it at the end of that race.
And there's a great backstory too, because it was one of the big plungers that was pulled off by part owner Kerry Packer. And Greg Hall, who listens every morning, he tells a great story. Here's a snippet of him telling that punting yarn to Ross Stevenson and Hamish McLaughlin on their show on .com.
So I'm standing in the middle of this bloke who's worth $12 billion. I got $12, right? So we're standing in the mountain yard, and he used to call me boy or son, you know, and he said, "What do you think, boy?" He said, "Do you think this can so-and-so win?" And I said, "How much you had on it?" He said, "What do you mean, son?" He said, "How much have I had on it?" And I said, "Well, how much you had on it?" He said, "I've had 1.6 million on it." And anyway, as I'm walking off to it, they said, "Riders up." And I said, "What, you dropped your handbag?" I said, "Go and have a decent bet." I said, this will win by a minute. And he kept riding, he goes, "Geez," he said, "I like that kid." So he went out another $3 million on it and won by seven lengths at 9-2.
Were you there, Lee? Is that how it went?
Oh, I can't remember that. I'll tell you what, he must be dropping his handbag, calling himself a kid at that stage. He was about 40 himself. See, all. But it was a great ride, and apparently they had a decent bet. I never saw any of it, so I can't really confirm or deny.
Did you feel the pressure of those days when you're training for Kerry Packer and Lloyd and they were having decent bets?
Nah, not at all, because they kept that to themselves. That's their business, and I never really got involved with that. They're both good to train for. Lloyd still is operating and racing horses, and I've always found him 100% easy to train for. You know, he has his input. That's good. He deserves to. He knows a lot about the game. And Kerry was just very blunt. And, you know, I like blokes like that. You knew what you were getting with Kerry. And if you gave him as much back as he gave you, he liked you a bit better. A bit like the G Hall story.
So there was nothing for the trainer if he had a big win, Kerry?
I never saw any of it, Michael. So, whether it went through the sieve or up to God, I don't know.
Hey, on the derby, there's been a lot of debate about the distance. We've got a full field and emergencies this year, so everyone's happy to have a crack for the 2,500 metres. You happy at that 2,500 metre distance? And would you rather a horse like Mahogany, who's got the class but can't stay, or an out-and-out stayer?
Look, I don't know about that last question. I'll leave that aside. But, look, I'm firmly in the corner that the derby just should change. It's an anachronism now. It has no relevance to the breeding industry in this country, and your derby should have relevance to get the very best horses running in it. And I think the way you would attract the best horses is to double the prize money and run it at 10 furlongs. So get the animos, you get those sort of horses running in that race to give it its gloss back. Because, look, I don't want to be disparaging of the horses that are there. I've won the derby down there three times. And apart from Mahogany, the other two were no champions. You know, they only just come out of restricted grade. So that tells you a lot about the derby in modern times. At the 2.5, yes, they've got a big field. Yes, they've got emergency. But honestly, some of those horses are coming out of... and it's great that the owners are racing for prize money. Don't get me wrong. But those horses are only coming out of maidens or benchmarks. Scores make up the majority of the field. And I think for a race described as the derby, it's not really good enough.
Is it because it's too early in the season for the 3-year-olds?
Well, there is that argument too. It's a big thing to have some of these horses ready to run 2,500 metres. We don't have a seasoning system like the UK or Europe has, where they have races, two-year-olds. There's one or two, I think, one in Victoria, maybe one in Sydney towards the end of their two-year-old season. But basically, they go straight from racing at a mile, and within the space of 2 weeks, like 2,000 and then 2,500. Now, of course, there's going to be horses cope with that, but modern-day statistics seem to shout at you that the modern-day Derby winners, in the main, not all, but in the main, haven't gone on. And there's probably a good reason for that, A, that they weren't particularly good in the first place, and B, it does take a lot out of them.
One of your Derby winners, Benicio, Matt Stewart, was telling me before that it might have been one of the very first horses that you might have used some of the genetic testing to determine that he was more of a stayer than a sprinter. Is that right?
Well, we were in a bit of a loss because I'd seen him as a foal with Peter Orton up in the paddock at Vinery, and I love the horse. Peter will back the story up as a foal running there, and I said, geez, I love that horse. He says, well, he'll be going to Eastern next year, you can buy him. So I did, and they came back into him, and he, to me, screamed, you know, Golden Slipper, because he was by the right stallion, and he's out of a very fast family, and I thought, well, you know, he's a compact, good-looking horse, and I thought, well, he'll be an ideal Golden Slipper horse. But he couldn't sprint at all. I think he got away with a 1,300 maiden at Bendigo as a two-year-old. It was a pretty ordinary race, and we were a bit disappointed. Like, we paid a bit of money for the horse, I think $500,000 at the time, and that. So anyway, this guy was knocking around doing, it's actually lactate testing. We did a lactate on him, and he said, oh, this horse is a stayer. And I said, well, yeah, I don't know, mate. He said, but I really do think, why don't you try him as a stayer? I said, well, we're getting nowhere as a sprinter. So, and that was only in the last month before the Derby. I started to lengthen his work out, and then he started to show some form, and probably a good thing beaten in the Vase and then won the Derby. But he broke down pretty soon after that. One wonders whether the stress of the Derby run over 2.5 at that time of the year is contributing to those sort of things. Now, there'll be plenty of people who want to argue with me, and I don't care. Plenty of people argue with me all the time over things. But to use tradition as a reason to keep the Derby, it's not good enough these days. You've got to look at the commercial reasons why and the physical reasons why.
That was the same year, I think, Maccabi won her third Melbourne Cup. And did you also, when she retired, think maybe we'll try and find out a little bit of the secret about her as well with some of the technology available?
Yeah, I think the bloke was having an off day because I think the report came back that, because these are all blank, you know, blind tests. You know, I said, I don't think this is much good.
For Maccabi.
I said, okay, all right. So, take it from there.
No more technology used in your training.
Oh, look, I'm sure it's got its value, but, you know, it's a bit confusing.
Well, it's interesting because Maccabi Diva won her final cup with 58 kilos, and there hasn't been another horse that's been able to carry that weight to victory. Incentivise 57. Is that enough to stop him this year?
Well, you know, the old perfy is, yeah, we'll know by, you know, 3:10 on Tuesday afternoon, but look, I thought he was near enough to a good thing in the Caulfield Cup. I don't think he's been over penalised. There was nothing in his Caulfield Cup win that suggested he wouldn't get the 3,200, although it's not a given. His style of racing is forward out of trouble. He doesn't pull when he's there. He settles well for Brett. He has his little flat spot where he gets his act together, and then he picks up and he goes on. I mean, he's an ideal horse. He's an ideal horse for the Melbourne Cup. I mean, sometimes you look at a million other reasons why a horse can't win and you overlook the bleeding obvious. And I think the obvious is he's the horse at the moment. He'll probably win it. If he doesn't, it'll probably be another import, as I said last week with the Cox Plate.
Well, I'm not sure if you've caught up with the news. We've lost one import this morning. Unfortunately, away he goes is out. And there seems to be a big attrition rate this year. And the vet testing...
Spanish, what's the name? I don't know.
Spanish Mission.
Spanish Mission would have pretty serious form for the Melbourne Cup. Mm. That would appear to me to be the main danger.
There's been a lot of talk about the veterinary procedures and the lead-up, and young Werther and also Harpo Marx scans found that there could be areas of concern. They've been ruled out of the cup.
Okay.
And also now we've got the unintended Murphy's Law. Something's gone wrong with the scanner. So there's other different types of X-rays which are going on.
Well, that's racing.
It is.
I find that very interesting. But look, as I've said before, and I think I've said on this segment a week or two ago, let's just let it all play out this year. Let's see what the revision of the whole thing throws up, whether there's changes need to be made or not. So there's no point commenting on it mid-race. You know, it's possibly prevented some horses from having traumatic breakdowns.
Mm.
Other people would disagree, but, you know, we're always told to follow the science. So we're following the science here. And this science, unlike some of the other science we're told to follow with COVID and global warming and all that sort of thing, is actually accurate and truthful. So let's just see.
One thing, though, that hasn't been related to the scans that's been quite controversial was the withdrawal of Gold Trip before the Cox Plate with the different trot-up. Now, Kiramar and Dave Eustace have said, we're taking the horse to Sydney. We think we're going to be able to run in Sydney. If the horse is passed fit by New South Wales stewards to run on Saturday, is that a great concern, Lee? If the Victorian vets are saying, no, you can't run, we deem you unfit, but New South Wales vets are saying, we don't have an issue?
You reckon that's going to happen?
Well, Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace are pretty confident.
Well, I don't know. It puts the vets up there in a very precarious situation, does it? If they let him run and he breaks down, they look terrible. So, let's see that one play out. I don't know anything about the horse. The vets here didn't think his action was good enough to run. To be honest, I've got a bit of empathy with him about that because I had a horse with Anthony a few years ago before I went to Singapore called Our Ivanhoe, who had a very extravagant trotting action where he actually benched out from the knees. It was the most ungainly-looking trot, and if you didn't know the horse, you'd say he was sore, but the vets in Melbourne got to know him and knew that that was his action every day of the week and wasn't just soreness, and they permitted him to start. He ran very, very well in both cups, but it's a difficult issue when people are making trying to be objective and making decisions on horses' actions at the trot. It's often very, very accurate if the horse is definitely lame and what we call head nodding lame. It's not so easy a task if the horse has got an unusual action.
A lot of talk about the protest. Where did you sit on the protest in the Cox Plate last Saturday?
Well, no one could have been fairer than me. I actually backed the winner, and I said to Joe, when we watched the replay head on, and I said, well, I think I've done my money here. I think this will be upheld. And then I looked at it again, and I thought, like, initial shift from animo. And I thought, well, maybe that's going to... Anyway, look, I think everyone very accurately said it was a 50-50 call. I don't think anyone thought that... I don't think everyone thought that it would be upheld, but by the same token, there are a lot of people who thought it would be dismissed. So, you know, it was a genuine 50-50 call. We have to respect that. That's the decision, and we move on.
So you're happy with the call?
Well, I collected.
Yes, of course. Nothing like self-interest, we know, in racing. What's the worst protest decision you can recall that's cost you a race?
Oh, crikey. Look, you put me question without notice. I couldn't really recall. I did recall a story about a fella who took a horse up to a country meeting back in the 60s, I think. And it was a two-day meeting, and he had him in the maiden on the Saturday, and he'd entered him for the maiden on the Monday in case there was rain or whatever, and he also entered him for what was the improvers then, which is like a class past one now, a benchmark 58. So the first day he went over the line first, no photo finish, and the local judge gave the local horse who ran second beat the neck. So they backed him up on the maiden Monday, and when he won again, the jockey pointed, it was turning around looking at the judge, pointing at the number on the horse as they went over the line just to say, don't leave me out this time. It's not quite a protest story. But,
hey, there's been talk about who should we... Unfortunately, we couldn't see it live on Saturday, but do you like the cases, the arguments that are made by jockeys and trainers, or should it just be totally left up to the video analysis?
I think the jockeys are interesting from the perspective that they're on the horse. They know how big the shift was or how big the bump was or whatever. They're actually in the middle of it. I don't think trainers have got... Trainers only see what they want to see, and that includes me and everybody else. And as for having owners, I don't think the owners even get a look in now, because I've never heard an owner go in and say, oh, yeah, my horse should lose the protest, ever. So, yeah, look, I think the jockey's fine. The stewards are well trained, though. They're just trying to give everybody an even break, and they're trained to look at these sort of things, and there's a panel of them, so it's not just one person's decision. And I think, you know, in protests generally all across this country, they pretty much get it right most of the time.
One last one before I let you go. We're going to see Artorias, your brother, is dropping him back from the mile to the 1,200. Is this what you think he's been wanting? Do you think he'll win the Coolmore on Saturday?
I think he's got a great chance. I don't disagree with him on that. They obviously, and I haven't discussed it, but they obviously think that he's more of a run-on sprinter, and he showed that what a devastating finish he had in the Blue Diamond, and pretty much the same in the Golden Slipper under difficult circumstances. So I think with that three-week freshen, and they would have given him a good freshen, and he'll be bouncing out of his skin, it'll take a good one to knock him off, because he'll be the strongest finisher on the line.
We've been waiting for a few weeks. You've said, just wait a little while. There might be something for you. I noticed you've got a few runners today.
Wait a bit longer.
All right.
Yeah. We're just kicking a few horses' campaigns off that want a bit longer, so they'll probably need the runs, the shorter trips. But, there's a couple of handy horses there. Something we can look at in the next few weeks.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Well, when we speak in a week's time, the Melbourne Cup will be running one. Who will we be talking about?
Oh, I think Incentivise. I know it's the obvious, but this is an obvious year. I think we're an up-and-comer like that. I don't know. What's he heading for, 8 straight or 9?
10.
Is it 10? Well, 10's not easy. But you know what? Generally, those horses sitting on 9 straight make it 10 because they are good horses. And if he's to be beaten, it'll only be because something's gone wrong or he doesn't run the trip, and then it'll probably be Spanish.
Good on you, Lee. Enjoy Cup Week. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
Cheers, Michael.
Lee Friedman.